This morning, I'm going to, for a devotion, I'll be sharing from the third John, John's third epistle, somewhere we don't always speak out of, but and in it, he uses the word truth or true very often, and so there is a truth that God wants us to be aware of. Now, we all know that in our world that when a resource or a commodity becomes scarce, it becomes very valuable. It increases in value. That is basic economics, supply versus demand, that curve. And something we've probably all experienced, if you go to the fuel pump recently, you will know that scarcity, by whatever means, can cause something to go up in price and not to our desire. But something far more rare than oil, and therefore far more valuable, is truth, especially in our day. We are living in what I would call days of deception, what the Bible calls days of deception, where truth in political, in social, in scientific, and certainly within religious spheres is becoming increasingly rare. And truth is at a premium. And so I believe many within our society, especially young people who are seeking truth, who are going to places of education, seeking truth, are desiring it more and more because it gives you confidence. Truth is really liberating. It gives you a sense of security. It gives you a foundation. It gives you something to stand on. And Jesus said to those who believe on him in John 8, verse 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." There's the liberty that we have in truth. The first century church that John wrote to, well, they battled with falsehood in their time as well. And so they were seeking the truth of God. And in John's third epistle, he wrote to a beloved member of the church named Gaius. And he wrote to encourage him and the church as a whole to receive a fellow preacher of the truth named Demetrius. That they could have confidence in this man, that he was a tried and tested man. And he wrote because there was opposition. There was another man in the church, perhaps an influential elder in that church, Diotrephes, who was spreading malicious and false rumors about Demetrius in order to discredit him. And so that certainly can happen within the church setting. And so John, a trusted elder in the church, wrote to encourage Gaius and those part of that church to trust in this man, Demetrius, that he was a man of God. And so if you have your Bible, turn to 3 John, and we'll read just the first four verses. "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Three times he mentions the truth here. When relationships are built upon objective truth, then we stand on common ground. For none of us, I don't own the truth, none of us owns the truth, but God. God is the disseminator of truth. Now, people can own lies. We certainly do that often, and therefore be on uneven ground as we stand upon our own lies. But truth puts us on even ground where love-trust relations can be pure and genuine. John put Gaius on the same equal footing as himself, that they stood together in truth and so loved each other in truth, as verse 1 tells us. And John was exceedingly joyful to hear the testimony of Gaius as one who walked and operated in the truth. Even more, John was filled with joy to hear that his children were walking in the truth. Now, it doesn't say if they were his biological children or simply spiritual children, those that he had helped disciple. What joy it brings Christian parents, especially as we're looking forward to Mother's Day, or Christian leaders who disciple children, to hear that they are walking in the truth, that they haven't gone astray, that they haven't been deceived. Proverbs 22, verse 6, a familiar proverb, speaks of that. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. What is the way that the proverb is speaking of? Well, it is the way of truth. And Jesus declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. For all those who genuinely walk in the truth of God, we should freely receive them as brothers and sisters in Christ, which is what John was contending for in verse 8 of this same epistle. For in verse 8 he says, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. John encouraged Gaius and the church to receive Demetrius as one of good report in the truth. And we know that he was of good report because further in that same epistle in verse 12, he reports that, saying Demetrius was good, has good report of all men and of the truth itself, yea, and also bear record, and you know that our record is true. John put his very name on the line. He was vouching for this man. And John was one that was trusted by the church. He had been tested and proven to be a true, faithful servant of the Lord Jesus. And so his word of recommendation came with great weight. But even greater than John, far greater, is the testimony of our Lord Jesus. Jesus' testimony on earth was and is greatest of all. He testified of his Father in perfect truth. He never once faltered, not once found outside of truth. And we who have believed upon the truth of God, have received Jesus as Lord and Savior, are vouched for by Jesus. And I think that is such a tremendous comfort to know that we have an advocate, someone that would intercede on our behalf to the Father, just as John did for Gaius, or for Demetrius to Gaius. But also, like this Diotrephes, who was slandering Demetrius, because as verse 9 says, he wanted preeminence. He wanted to be above. He wanted, you know, they talk about pushing other people down in order to raise yourself higher rather than just simply elevating yourself. That's what he seemed to be doing. He wanted to have preeminence. He wanted to be considered honored or above. And so he badmouthed Demetrius. And that is exactly what Satan does. He sought preeminence. He wanted to be like God. And he constantly accuses the brethren, the believers, as Revelation 12, verse 10 says. But we are defended by Jesus. We have an advocate. He is the author and orator of truth, and he ever liveth to make intercession for them, speaking of those who trust in him. Now, many in the world do not know what is true or not. In fact, we Christians, I can struggle with that, what to know what is true or not in our world. But you don't have to know the ins and outs of every situation in order to find the truth. You simply need to know the source of truth. When man is the source, even in good intentions, it often will be somewhat polluted, maybe for vain glory or profit or whatever it may be. But God has nothing to profit from man or this world other than to see souls saved by the truth. And in fact, the word of God declares that. For when Pilate asked the question, what is truth, in John 18, verse 38, Jesus declared in verse 37, you say that I am a king. To this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Jesus left glory, suffered and died in order to bear witness of the truth to this fallen world. Now, I cannot convince anyone of the truth of God's word. I cannot convince anyone that Jesus is truly the Savior of this world. But the Holy Spirit certainly can, and he is convicting souls. And if you are spiritually reborn, then the truth is within you, that is the Holy Spirit, confirming the word of God within and moving you to worship in spirit and truth, as Jesus said. And so may we have that confidence of John, who defended Demetrius as a true witness and exercise that confidence in the many truths of God's word, especially when it's unpopular, especially when it's not supported by the masses of our world. For if God is for us, who can be against us? And God is truth. We stand on truth.